Yeah. Throughout the Bible, there are a few phrases that come up regularly, phrases that happen often. They are recurring words that are used, and I like to study those words out and then find them throughout Scripture and like chase them down. And my Bible software allows me to do that really easily, and so I can deep dive into a total time of nerdiness in Scripture, and I like that. It's fun to me. I don't know if it's fun to anyone else, but I like to get into some of that stuff. I like the word therefore. I've used that word enough that you guys printed it and put it on my wall in my office. Again, something that I chased through Scripture and really made a big deal out of because of what it means to us. If you don't know, that means that, I'll tell you, it means that we need to look at the context that came before so that we can properly apply what is happening next and consider that context and apply it to the truth that we are getting ready to understand. Do not be deceived shows up a lot less often than therefore, but it carries the same kind of a, you can follow it through Scripture and get a lot in it and from it, kind of a weight. Carries the same sort of depth to it. It should cause us to think, to consider the fullness of what is being said next. This morning we're going to follow the phrase, do not be deceived in Scripture. We are an equipping church. We exist to glorify God, to equip the saints for the ministry of the gospel, and to share the gospel. Improving the way that we study the Bible equips you to exist in relationship with God while living in a fallen world, which is where we are. We live in a fallen world. Following this phrase through Scripture helps us to know some of the things that God wanted to warn us about while we live in that world. He says, do not be deceived pretty often. And you should see this and hear this in the voice of a loving father who knows what you're going through, who knows what you're going to experience, who knows what's going on. He knows that the stove is hot. Don't be deceived. It looks cold. It's hot. He knows that there are dangers in the world. He knows that there are things that you need to be aware of. He knows that there are liars out there. He says, do not be deceived. This is a warning sign. It's a danger ahead sign for us. He says, do not be deceived. To be deceived means to be misled, to fall for a lie, to be convinced to live as if a falsehood is true. So we can be deceived in a lot of different ways. We're going to talk about some of those this morning. But this can be evident in your thoughts and in your behavior. If you believe something is true that is not true, it will change the way that you behave, and it will change the way that you behave in a negative way because you're not responding authentically. If you believe something about yourself that's not true, you're going to behave in a way that is inauthentic. It's false. It's bad. The liars are always talking. So the question for us this morning is, how gullible are you? How gullible are you? And for most of us, I believe that depends on who the liar is. Sometimes we can catch a liar. We know they're a liar. We don't believe anything that they say because they have already identified themselves as a liar. But the liars that we're going to talk about this morning are the world, the enemy, and you. Lying to yourself. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that you've prepared for us this morning. God, I ask that you would help me to speak well, that you would identify things in each one of our lives that we can work on and improve, that you would guide us through this in a way that maybe hurts our feelings but helps us to grow in you. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to go through a few times that the warning, do not be deceived, is found in Scripture, and just work through them. We're going to start with an easy one. We're going to work through this stuff. We're going to try to identify who the liar is or what the danger of the lie is. We're going to talk about how you can avoid being deceived in that stuff. we're just going to try to work through this stuff. We're going to start with an easy one. James chapter 1, verse 16 and 18 says, "Do not be deceived, my brothers, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of the truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Do not be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above. This seems kind of easy to me. How can that be twisted? How can you be deceived in this way? There's a lot of things that can happen. The warning that James is coming out of is that we might believe that we are tempted by, or we are tempted to sin by God. He's gone through a whole iteration of saying, hey, listen, if you are tempted, it is not by God. Do not be deceived. God does not tempt you. In fact, anything that you have that is good comes from God. So we might, if we get confused, we might blame God for the things in the world that are bad. We might say, hey, that's God's fault. Typically, the liar here is the enemy. If he can convince you that God has done great and terrible things to you, you will probably not follow God anymore. You will not want to have any relationship with a person or a deity that treats you like crap. You're going to look for Buddha or somebody that's at least you can work your way into something decent. If it's all God's fault, then you can improve your situation by ignoring God. The enemy has used this lie time and time again. How does the world try to reconcile it? They ask this question. Anybody ever heard this question before? Why do bad things happen to good people? We've asked that question. I've asked that question. I've wrestled with it. But it's loaded. If you open that door, you're talking to somebody who's going through a time of suffering, and you open that door, there is a claymore mine behind that door. People are going to get hurt. Claymores are a little weapon, and it's about this big. And on the front, it says something like "Face towards the enemy," and it's got 700 round steel bearings in it and a pound and a half of C4. So when they trip, they go boom, and everybody gets hurt. You can't be anywhere near it. Claymores are not fun. If you open the door to this question, if somebody says, why do bad things happen to good people, and they're in a time of suffering, and you say you want to answer that question honestly in that moment, people are going to get hurt. The enemy uses that question, loads that question into their chamber and says, hey, listen, why do bad things happen to me? You will not be able to console someone in their time of grief with a true answer to that statement. It is not going to happen. The enemy uses pain to pull you into hatred of God and inevitably into unbelief. You cannot believe in a God who's going to condemn you, otherwise you will walk in life condemned. So the answer to, well, if I'm just condemned, is I don't believe in God. He's not going to judge me. What is the answer to that question? The real answer is there are no good people. Bad things don't happen to good people. There are no good people. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We live in a fallen world where terrible things happen to all people. Until the Lord returns and sets it straight. The only hope that we have is in Jesus. James shares with us here, if you get anything good, it is by the grace of God that you have anything good. The only hope that we have is in Jesus. I can't imagine why the enemy would want to fight that truth. Good things come from God. God gives good and perfect gifts. He is loving enough that we receive some mercies while here on earth. Some. We get some good stuff here, despite our own behavior, because our behavior, if quantified, if listed out, if reconciled on the chart of accounts, it is bad. We have earned death and destruction. We have earned terrible things. Good things come from God. The enemy is a liar. This nonsense gets into our head, and so we wrestle with it. The enemy is a liar. And so God says to us through James, do not be deceived. I give good gifts. The enemy is a liar, and he would want you to believe otherwise. We're going to come back to James for now. Let's go on to 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, do not be deceived a couple of times here as well. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I've heard this preached often in my church by others. This one gets a little bit trickier. A little bit. It's a little bit thicker than that first one, with fewer words. It says to us that we've got to be careful about who we spend time with. The world shouts out at us to be accepting. The world says this: Jesus spent time with sinners. And he did. He's Jesus. I'm Adam. Paul writes a warning. You can spend time with sinners, but that can't be your only company. You can't spend all of your time with sinners. We conform to the image of those around us. We bend and mold to the people that are nearby. The world knows this on a professional level. They say, hey, you need a mentor. You need somebody teaching you and training you. If you show me your five friends, I can show you where you're going to be in 5 years. That is, the world is saying that to us. You want to succeed in a professional way? These are the ways that you do that. The world tells us that. They know. And yet, on a spiritual level, they say, hey, listen, you gotta hang out with everybody. You gotta spend time with everybody. You gotta be there. The fact is that the people that we spend time with sets a baseline for what we believe is okay. Eventually, you conform. When I was living on Bank Street as a child, there's some kids down the street named the Loftons. They were from the South, I think Georgia. The Loftons all had a thick Southern accent. We would come home and have a pretend Southern accent after spending any amount of time. So my family's here, they're laughing. It's true. After spending any amount of time with the Loftons, we would come home with a slight, exaggerated, annoying, pretend Southern draw because we were hanging out with these kids. And that's the way they all talk. They pronounce it this way. We're going to pronounce it that way. Because you get from others who you are. When you spend time with people, they rub off on you. So the world lies to us. And they say, hey, listen, you got to spend time with everybody. Whoever this person is, if they're in your life, you got to keep them in your life forever. They need to be important and special to you forever. They came into your life during a hard time, and so you got to keep them there forever. We lie to ourselves. This is an us lie, time two. We like to say things like, I can lead them to Jesus. I can change them. Yes and amen, you can. You can share the gospel with them. But lady, there are 12 of them, and one of you. Maybe you should work on one-on-one relationships and also have a whole small group Bible study of women that are behind you helping you in this. Because are you really going to share the gospel? If everyone else is only talking about cars, are you going to talk about Jesus? If there's 20 of them and one of you, are you going to spend that time? No, eventually we're all talking about how we hate our wives. I've worked in the blue-collar world for a long time. I don't spend a lot of time with the guys. I have an office where I'm by myself most of the time, and that's wonderful. One of the things that I know about the blue-collar world is everybody, like, the way that you get along with people is that you have something to complain about. If you have something to complain about, then you can reconcile with the other people who have something to complain about. And eventually, everybody in the room is just complaining. And the only thing these guys have in common is they owe a bunch of money to somebody, they hate their boss, and their wife is a nag. And so, what do they talk about? That's hard when you enjoy the company of your wife. When you like hanging out, I don't have, that was a nice car though, I think. Are you going to share that, the gospel in those situations? I do, because I'm only in those moments or in those situations a moment at a time, I do like to throw stones. and so I say things like, well, you have child support because you hang out with crazy women. I don't know why you do that. I didn't do that. You have this problem because you did this before. Listen, make better choices, man. I always follow that up with, you're welcome at my house anytime. It's crazy, but come over. Come over. I'm not very sympathetic in those situations. But I don't have complaints about my wife, but I also don't spend a lot of time with him. But I know we will get a good guy, a new guy, will come into our company and hang out with guys that are upset and been there too long. And within a week, that guy hates his new job that he was so excited about a week ago. He was so excited to be there. He was so excited to interview. He shined his shoes. He wore a collar for once. He came in on time the one time he was going to do that. And then within 2 weeks, it's the worst place he's ever been. Because it's a downward spiral. Peer pressure is real, and you can't use them to excuse your behavior. You've got these other people around you. The people that you keep company with can corrupt you. They have the ability to corrupt you. I remember saying, hey, but everyone is doing it when I was a kid. And my mom, who's here today, didn't know she was going to be here when I wrote these words. Her answer to that was, if they jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? The unfortunate answer to that is, yes, I did that in college. It's a bad plan. So, like, that's not a good... Hanging out with people does lead you to things that you would not otherwise do. The reality of that question is, it's my responsibility to know what is right and wrong, regardless of who I'm with and what they are doing. But the promise of Scripture is, if you spend too much time with these people, you will become them. Bad company corrupts good morals. Even if you are in a good place, spending too much time with people that don't love the Lord will pull you in the wrong direction. It may not take you all the way there. You may not get to where they're at, but you will go closer than you want to go. There are other lies that are tied to this. If I don't have them, then I don't have any friends. I need them in my life. I don't have anyone else. I love them. They helped me so much. But this guy loves me. And so we give into it and we spend the time and we go the directions. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost more than you want to pay. It will every single time. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You're not going to be able to stand as the shining white tower in your group of friends covered in filth. You will get dirty. You cannot stay clean rolling around with the hogs. You will get dirty. That's not to condemn you and say that you will stay there. That is not to say that God will not reconcile that situation. It is a warning from a loving God to say, don't get this wrong. This is a danger for you. This can be a problem for you. Do not be deceived. The next warning comes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap." Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. It's such a powerful statement. God is not mocked. You are not tricking him. You're not pulling the wool over his eyes. You don't have something figured out. You don't have an arrangement where you get a better deal. It's not better for you than it is for everyone else. Our God is all powerful, all knowing, and all present. Those are the omnis, right? We lie to ourselves when we say, God doesn't care about this little sin. We lie to ourselves when we say, me and the man upstairs, we are okay. First of all, the fact that you did not declare how holy he was in that statement and you degraded him to the man says how you feel. God is not mocked. You're not tricking him in any way. Don't be deceived by that. And the next part goes harder. What you sow, you will reap. This is the law of the universe. God made gravity work. He didn't really describe it in Scripture. Sometimes gravity works weirdly. Go higher on a mountain, gravity works differently. Go lower into the ocean, gravity works differently. You go to the moon, gravity, very different. Still real, still something we got to understand. But this is law. This is the way God created it to work. What you sow, you will reap. It's recorded for you and I to know forever. You will reap what you sow. If you plant corn, you will get corn. Thank you. Thank you. If you plant an apple tree, what are we going to get if we plant apples? Yeah, see? If you plant unforgiveness, you get unforgiveness. That one's a little trickier. If you broadcast selfishness, broadcasting is a way to plant. You know, you kind of just throw seeds out and hope something happens. That's the way we've been planting grass in my yard all summer long. Some of it's taken. Some of it isn't. But if you toss out seeds of selfishness, you will receive selfishness from others. If you plant hostility, you're going to get hostility. And yet, if you plant generosity, you receive generosity. If you plant kindness, you receive kindness. If you plant forgiveness, you will receive forgiveness. Now, this isn't necessarily transactional. It doesn't mean that, hey, I forgave Ross, Ross forgives me. This is a two-party relationship where we're going back and forth and transactional in that way. We're not balancing it out like that. God covers the balance. You need to understand that. What you sow, you will reap. And if you don't see it yet, God covers the balance. You need to understand that about reaping. God covers the balance. It may not be if you forgive your brother, then he will forgive you. Sometimes the dirt isn't good. Sometimes he is not ready or not able. God covers the balance. When you give to those in need, it's very unlikely that they will pay you back. God covers the balance. If you expect them to give it back to you, that's not generosity, that's a loan. You're a bank now. That's different. Not generosity. It's not giving. I want to give unto the Lord and let him take care of them and him take care of me. His promise looks like this. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Given it will be given unto you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." God covers the balance. this works the other way too. God covers the balance. If you sow evil and you don't get it back, understand that you haven't gotten it back yet. So a little bit of a warning at the end. You don't see it, it's coming. God will cover that balance. Just wait a little bit. We lie to ourselves and say that we deserve something different. I've earned anything. I'm special. I should get special behavior, special treatment. We lie to ourselves when we say we deserve anything other than what we have sown. We planted it. That's what we're going to get. The world lies to us when they say God doesn't care. He's not keeping count of anything. You can be as nasty as you want. It's going to be fine. The enemy lies to us when he says we can pour into our flesh and have no consequence. Listen, chase that dream. It doesn't matter where you are spiritually. Listen, do that thing. It doesn't matter what you're doing spiritually. It does not matter. There are no consequences. There are consequences. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Don't let the enemy lie to you. We've looked at four different situations this morning, four different parts of Scripture. We've looked at who the different liars are. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. So the question becomes, when do you start believing those lies? God has warned us, but this is stuff that we fall for all the time. Do not be deceived. If you want something different out, put something different in. You want to receive goodness, sow goodness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 is the next do not be deceived that we're going to talk about this morning. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. Do not be deceived. God has a standard. If you live in this way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not live forever with Jesus. You do not get to pass go or collect $200. You cannot be in relationship with Jesus and live this way. You cannot actively pursue these sins. Those sins are listed again: sexual immorality, idolatry, adulterers, males who have sex with males, homosexuality, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers. So we talk a lot about, as the church, we talk a lot about those sexually immoral things, and then we skip over the greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, and swindlers a lot because those are more common for us and they're one-time things sometimes. And yet still God says, this is not okay for my people. When I talk to my children about different things like that, I say, hey, listen, this does not honor the Lord, and so we do not. This does not honor God, so we live in this other way. We will not do this because it does not honor God. This is not the way that we want to live. We are Johnsons. We are different. I know that this isn't what your friends are doing. God has set a standard. You cannot be in relationship with Jesus and live this lifestyle. You must repent. You must die to your flesh. The lie of the world is that all of these things are wonderful and should be celebrated. Who are the most popular people in the world right now? Greedy people are the most popular people in the world right now. Everybody knows who Elon Musk is, right? Jeff Bezos. He didn't get there by being charitable. Those people did not become the richest people on the planet by giving everything they had to the poor. The lie of the world is that these lifestyles, all of them, should be celebrated. We need to be inclusive in religion. Let everybody have whatever idols they want. We need to be inclusive in the definition of marriage. Let anybody do whatever they want. We need to be inclusive in all things. Watch television and see how often adultery comes into your television. To a point where they want you to cheer for the couple that's hooking up on the side, even though this guy's married. They set it up to where you want to be. The romance triage gets you to where you're celebrating things that God says is not okay. Drunkenness is celebrated. I don't think verbal abuse is celebrated too much, probably. In fact, that's the one thing I think the world condemns. You can't talk meanly to anyone in any sort of way. Like, mind your tone. The lie of the enemy is you were made this way. You're just a verbally abusive person. That's just the way you talk. That's just the way you are. You were born with an addiction problem, so you are a drunkard. That's just who you are now. You were made to be sinful in this sexual way. Your wife's no good. You may as well go out and find somebody on the side. The lie of the enemy is it's okay. The lie of the world is that it's wonderful and should be celebrated. The lies we tell ourselves is that we're broken and this is just part of it and I'm just going to struggle with this for the rest of my life. I've inherited these things. Jesus says to those who practice lawlessness that he never knew them, but that is not your story. It's not my story. God redeems that. So I'm not this person. Even if I have done and been this person, even if I have struggled with these sins that are listed here, this is not my story. My story is Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. So no, we cannot practice lawlessness. We must deny the flesh. And we got to deny our flesh for every kind of sin. God has set a standard. We struggle against the standard and our nature. Do not be deceived. God has this level playing field. Your sin that you struggle with might be different than the sin that I struggle with, but we're going to struggle. We live in a fallen world. We talked about that already. So how do we go about avoiding being deceived? Because we have this great warning. We have this instruction from the Lord. Hey, listen, don't be deceived. Don't fall for this. Don't let anybody trick you. Don't let the enemy get in your head. How do we do that? First thing, I think we need to know what is happening. We need to know that the enemy is actively trying to convince us to go against the Word of God. The fact that he mentions these things that go so directly contrary to the culture of our world today is insane to me. You want to see prophecy fulfilled? This is prophecy fulfilled. God said, do not be deceived. This is the way the world is going to go. Ta-da! We're there. We need to know that it is happening. We are on the receiving end of these lies, and they are constant pounding at our door. Believe me. Believe me. You must believe me, the lies say. The reason that we are warned not to be deceived is because deception is common. It is easy for us to fall into because the efforts to trick us are constant. And we erode away one little bit at a time. Do not be deceived. You have to know that you're being lied to. How do you know a politician is lying? They are opening their mouth. They've spoken out loud to you. That's how you know. We have this loving warning from our God. The first thing that we need to know is that it's a warning because it's necessary. The second thing is, I think we need to know who the liars are. And I'm not talking about that one person that lied to you one time. But what is it in the world that is trying to convince you to go against these things? James 1:22 reveals the first one. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You are a liar. That's good enough. I go to church. I hang out with people like the Hortons. That's got to be good enough. Be doers of the word. We've got to be applying ourselves. Otherwise, we become the liar. We can trick ourselves into these situations. We've talked about several instances where, hey, I will fall into this thing that God said, do not be deceived about, because I've lied to myself well enough. The reality is, a lot of these lies are more comfortable to live in than the truth. And if I know anything about me, I like to be comfortable. I sweat in my house at 72 degrees. I come home and it's at 72 degrees. First thing I do, turn that back down. I like to be comfortable. The lies in this fallen world are more comfortable. Let's not deceive ourselves. Revelation 12:9 reveals another one. It says, so the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to earth and his angels with him. The enemy is a deceiver. He is the one who deceives the whole world. He has some sort of power in the situation that we live in that allows him to get into our heads and tell lies. There's an enemy. He deceived the world. The world actively also tries to deceive you. That's part of this as well. The enemy and the world. Matthew 24:24 reveals to us that religious people can be deceivers. For false messiahs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. I tell people once in a while, hey, we all have our favorite heretic. There are people who actively try to lead people astray. There are people who actively try to religiously lead people astray. Second Corinthians 11, 3 through 4, go back to dealing with the enemy. It says, "But I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his coming, your minds may be seduced from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. If a person comes and preaches another Jesus whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you had not accepted, you put up with it splendidly. We are easily tricked, bamboozled. The Bible says, do not be deceived. And yet here we are saying, hey, listen. They had a cross necklace on. I don't know. It seemed like that was how I knew. They had a tattoo on their shoulder. That's what I identified them with. The liars are always talking. Spiritual liars are the same way. We know that a politician is lying if they're opening their mouth. We know that if the world is trying to influence us in any way whatsoever, it's probably wrong. It's probably wrong. They're probably lying. If the enemy has said anything to you that looks a little contrary to Scripture, he's wrong. Pretty easy. Sometimes it's the enemy. Sometimes it's the world. Sometimes it's a religious nut job on TV. Sometimes it's just us, because I want to be more comfortable. I want to feel accepted. I don't want to change. We need to know who the liars are so that we can know the truth. What are we listening to? The Bible says that as Jesus' sheep, we know his voice. We don't know his voice unless we are listening to it often. One of the wonderful things about being in relationship with people for a long time is that you start to know their mannerisms, the way that they talk, the way that they act, the way that they behave, the way that they are going to interact with the world. And so if you see something that is out of character, you can really easily spot, hey, either something is going on or someone else is influencing the situation. Right now, Facebook gets hacked all the time, and what's happening is people are really copying your Facebook account and then sending out messages and whatever. That's happening all the time. Easiest way for me to know that that's not you is Gaia does not want to talk to me about a Social Security program. Bob Dye does not want to talk to me about my car's extended warranty. Really easy to spot that. Rick might want to talk to me about my car's extended warranty. I got to find that out. But I know those things by spending time with these people. We can know God better and know his voice better by spending more time with him. The word of God is sharp as any two-edged sword. We can trust his word. We can trust in the things that he says about us and to us and for us and through us. So what are we listening to? As we are influenced, as we are talking through things, as we are figuring stuff out in our own lives, one of the things that we need to do is to be careful not to be deceived. As Christians, it would be good for us to identify areas and times where we have been deceived so that we know what deception looks and feels like. What have we been deceived about by the enemy? What's happened already? At this point in my life, what has God had to pull me through? How have we mocked our God? What are we hiding? What are we lying to ourselves about? David dealt with this in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. He said, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way." As believers, it would be good for us to take inventory. Do not be deceived. What are the lies that I believe today? Lies about myself, lies about my relationships, lies about my family, lies about my job, lies about my God. What do I believe today? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. God, help me in this. So we invite God in to help us navigate. God said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 8. He gives us this loving care, this conversation with the nation of Israel, who are in the process of being deceived. They've been lied to. He says, "Don't let your prophets who are among you and your diviners deceive you. Don't listen to the dreams you elicit from them. For they are prophesying falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them." He says, "I didn't send those people. The lies aren't from me. The things you believe aren't from me. They're prophesying falsely. I know they said my name. They're liars." Verse 10, he goes on, he says, "For this is what the Lord says, when 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will attend to you and confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place." This is the loving care of a father who says, "Don't be deceived. Don't let the enemy get in there." And we all know the next verse. We've all printed it and written it and thought about it and dwelled on it. "For I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. "Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." What does our God say? He says, "Do not be deceived. Don't let anybody in there that could mess this up." You can get into some really bad situations when you start living the lie, believing the lies of the enemy. The lies that you believe will influence the way that you behave. It will influence the things that you do, the way that you act, the relationships that you have. The lies that you believe will change who you are. God says, "Don't let that happen." David worked it out by saying, "God, search me." We have to know, first of all, that it's happening. We got to know you're being lied to. Everybody here know you're being lied to. Turn on the television, that McDonald's sandwich never looks like it does in the commercial. Never. You know how they do that? They move the hamburger over to the side of the bun so it sticks out over a quarter of an inch. That's marketing. They move the lettuce. They only put one piece of lettuce on, but they put it all the way over the edge. The backside of that sandwich is a barren wasteland. You can't see it because it's a picture. what the world presents to you is lies, you know you're being lied to. You have to know, listen, it's the enemy, it's the world, it's the religious nut jobs, and sometimes it's just you. You got something in your head that you believe that's not true. You said it to yourself, and you said it to yourself so many times. Now you believe it. They must not like me. 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 Now the next time you interact, what do you want? You never even had a conversation. We've lied to ourselves so many times. And we have to know what the truth is. We know that by spending more time with God. David said, God, search me and lead me. So let's do that this morning. Let's pray and ask God to protect us and to save us from the deception of the enemy, the deception of the fallen world around us, and the deception of ourselves. And like that song we sang this morning said, let's take God at His word. If He said it, I believe it. Let's pray. God, You are holy and good. I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the warnings of a loving dad. That we not be deceived. Help us to identify the lies in our own lives. Things that we have caused ourselves to believe. Things that the enemy has repeated so many times that it's truth to us. God, help us to be people who understand these simple promises, these simple rules, that every gift comes from You is good. That You will not be mocked. That what we sow, we will reap. That You have a standard. God, help us not to be deceived. Search my heart, O God, and lead me in the everlasting way. God, I ask that for all people here this morning under the sound of my voice. God, anybody that would hear this message, God, I ask that it would be encouraging to them. Help us to identify the lies. Help us not to be deceived. God, I ask that You'd pour out blessings on these people that are here today. I thank You for them. I ask that You would give them provision, that You'd give them health. We thank You for that. I ask for restoration in relationships. I ask for healing where it is necessary. We ask for abundance for little ones. God, we thank You and we praise You. We ask all those things in Jesus' name we pray.